Did you ever wonder what it was like to be alive at the time of the prophets and those who preceded the actual arrival of Jesus Christ? Those, as they were called, God-fearing Jews who followed the law and who studied the prophecies and who were awaiting a Messiah, the Son of God. There were various titles that were used to refer to him, but they were all in a period of expectation. They were waiting for the Messiah to come and deliver them, they thought, from the hated Romans. They were waiting. They studied. They tried to live as righteous a life as they could, and they waited. And they studied their scriptures. And we see a hint of that in today's gospel lesson. When Jesus approaches Nathanael, he says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Another way to translate that might be, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no dishonesty, in whom there is no trickery, no cunning." These are synonyms for that word. As this gospel passage ends, Jesus makes a reference and says, "Since you have seen me and acknowledged me as your King and your God, you shall behold greater things. You shall see the angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." He's basically saying, "You shall see the Messiah." Well, in fact, Nathanael was looking right at the Messiah, but he wouldn't know that until later. But this passage where he talks about the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, this is a very specific reference, and one that Nathanael, as a God-fearing Jew who studied his scriptures, would have immediately recognized. It's referring back to the patriarch Jacob in the Old Testament. If any of you are familiar with Abraham, right, the story of Abraham, he was this guy living in a city, and God speaks to him one day and says, "I want you to move and go somewhere else." This wasn't an easy thing for Abraham to do, or Abram as he was known. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his home. He had to leave his friends. He had to leave his comfort zone and go to a completely different area just because God told him to do it. But you know what? Abraham did it. And it was accounted to him as faith. He trusted God. He listened and did. Abraham had a son who was called Isaac, right? And Isaac had a son who was called Jacob. Now, in those days, the word really meant something. How did God create the universe? Did he snap his fingers? Did he punch a key on a keyboard? He spoke it into existence. God spoke, "Let it be." And it was so. Why do we reverence the Theotokos? What did she do? She spoke. She said, just like God did at the beginning, "Let it be. Let it be to me according to thy word." So words are very, very important. So important that when Jacob sought the blessing of his father, Isaac, he wanted that blessing. Now, I don't think Isaac was a rich man that could give him lots of things, but he could give him his blessing. Jacob was dishonest. He had a brother called Esau. Esau was a big, hairy guy, a real outdoorsman. If Esau were alive today, he'd be a middle linebacker, right? This is Esau. He's a man's man. Jacob was probably more like me, smaller guy, preferred books, liked sports, but like to watch sports, not really big enough to participate in them. Well, Jacob wanted the blessing of his father. So what did he do? He pretended to be Esau. With his mother's help, he covered himself in the pelts of animals so he would appear to be hairy. Now, his father was very old and advanced in years, couldn't see very well, couldn't hear. You know how it is. And so when Esau approached and he's covered with these furs and whatnot, his dad wasn't sure at first, but it worked. Jacob stuck it out, and he went through it. He basically tricked his dad into giving him his older brother's blessing. And this was huge. This was huge. This was important. And it's a great blessing. I encourage you to go back in the Old Testament and read the blessing. It's very, very nice. Now, of course, when his brother found out, he was very upset, and Jacob had to flee. Now, I won't say that the Bible actually endorses a what goes around comes around. But there is a certain reciprocity. The more you read and study, the things that we do often do seem to be done to us, right? And we can't really complain, can we? I mean, perhaps the biggest evidence of this is how Satan tricked us as human beings into taking a bite of that apple that hung upon a tree. It's almost as if that apple were bait, right? Like a worm that you would put on a hook. I mean, God didn't do that on purpose, maybe. I don't know. God doesn't tempt us, but he does test us. And he told us not to eat of that fruit. We call it an apple, but we don't know what it was. We were tested, and we failed. We ate of that fruit, and we shouldn't have, and we knew better. Okay? But Satan led us into this. Now, we willingly cooperated, but Satan tricked us by using that bait. So what goes around comes around. Cross, have you ever noticed how it looks like a fisher's hook, a fisherman's hook? Who's the bait hanging on the cross? It's Jesus Christ. Christ in heaven says, okay, Satan, you're going to do that to my children, to my brothers and sisters? You're going to trick them with bait? Must be okay. I'm going to do the same thing to you, and you can't complain because you did it to someone else. I'm going to let things happen, so I'm going to be on that cross, and you're going to come up and you're going to say, gotcha now, gotcha now. I'm going to kill you, I'm going to take you to Hades, and then I will really be in charge. Satan didn't know, Son of God, that the moment he took Christ into Hades, it exploded. His entire power was evaporated. Satan didn't know that, but God did it. He tricked him. Well, not trick. He did to him what Satan did to us. How could Satan complain? What grounds does he have to complain? Words are so, so important. So Jacob continues on in his life, and he's blessed by God, and actually his name is changed, a name that you're very familiar with. At some point, God blessed him and said, you shall no longer be named Jacob, but your name will be Israel, from whom all his descendants are known as a tribe and nation. When you call someone an Israelite, that basically means they are a descendant of Jacob. All right? Now, you might say, how could God bless Jacob? He was a trickster. He was a fraudster. Well, God blessed him even though his character wasn't perfect. Because Jacob was not only a strong man physically, he was exceedingly strong in faith. Through all the many trials and tribulations that he went through, if you go back and read, he got tricked himself, by the way. He went to marry one woman, and I always get the names wrong since I met the Kokenesis, because the birth order is different. He thought he was going to, and I won't get this right, he thought he was going to marry Rachel, but the father of Rachel didn't want him to marry Rachel first. He wanted him to marry Leah. So he takes Leah, puts a veil over her, says it's Rachel, sticks her down front, they get married, pops the veil off, and Jacob's like, whoa, wait a minute, this is not the woman I thought it was going to be. What goes around comes around, right? He tricked his dad, he got tricked by Laban. What could he really say? Now, Laban didn't know about that, so he works for 7 years, and then lo and behold, I guess polygamy was, well, you know, whatever, that was then. He marries her sister, and he gets both of them. Okay, and then life continues. Life continues, and it went forward. But he, at some point, was renamed Israel. He never gave up on God. He never gave up. And he was blessed with a vision. He went to sleep in the desert. He laid his head on a rock, and he had a dream, you might say, of a ladder stretching to heaven, and he could see angels going up and down on this ladder. So he knew, this was a gift of assurance, that heaven and earth will be reconciled at some point in the future. And as the Jews studied their scriptures and prophets, they understood that to be in the person of the Messiah. So when Christ goes to Nathanael and says, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile, Nathanael immediately knew what he was referring to. Right? And even today, there is this stereotype of Jews as a very, you know, very intelligent person. And they are. That's part of their blessing from God, I think. But Nathanael knew. And Nathanael, though, immediately was bold. He said, my King and my God. He did not hesitate to acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And Christ said, oh, okay, you will see greater things. You will see the Son of God, the Messiah, referring back again to reemphasize that connection back to Jacob. So Nathanael was a true Israelite in faith and in honesty. May we be strong as we go through the second week of Great and Holy Lent as we find ourselves today. We are poised for the second week. If you haven't started yet, please, I implore you to embrace the fast. It will help you. It will not be comfortable. It will be difficult. You'll feel out of sorts, but that's part of the point. In that, pray for the grace of God, because the grace of God is greater than any anger or temper or frustration or lack of sleep that we may have. It really is. So think about these things and pray about them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.